Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Full coverage here this morning on the takeaway of the President's State of the Union address last night. More than one theme. There was a theme of let's come together. There was, of course, a theme of let's build competitiveness in the United States. And some Americans were even mentioned by the president practically by name.
We're telling America's scientists and engineers that if they assemble teams of the best minds in their fields and focus on the hardest problems in clean energy, we'll fund the Apollo projects of our time.
My name is Joel Solomon, living in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I'm an engineer. Right now, I'm working as a computer programmer because there aren't all that many engineering jobs. The president hasn't promised any sort of big projects that would bring those engineering jobs back. He's spoken much broader generalities.
Well, there's a reaction from one engineer. Your reactions to the State of the Union by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE, 877-869-8. 8253. Our frame this morning is text and subtext. That engineer was responding to the text of the president's speech and to regard the rest of the speech textually. Stanley Fish joins us, professor of humanities and law at Florida International University. His book, How to Write a Sentence, just came out yesterday. He's also an online columnist for the New York Times. He joins us from Florida. Stanley Fish, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And with the subtext of the environment in that room last night, which had a number of subtextual themes, Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
So text and subtext. Let's begin with the text. Stanley Fish, a Sputnik moment, an Apollo project evocation. What did you get from this speech, at least in the explicit sense of the word?
There wasn't much soaring, even though the Apollo was mentioned. This was a speech that, rather than having grand rhetorical flourishes, was built around a series of short phrases like, win the future, and we do big things at the end. And bookending the speech were references to American exceptionalism, that which sets us apart, the idea that founds America. So the entire effort, rather than taking off, stayed on the ground, was pragmatic, and as I said, was organized around a sense of can do rather than we are the most powerful nation in the world.
Well, here's at least one example of exactly what you're talking about, Stanley Fish.
And now it's our turn. We know what it takes to compete for the jobs and industries of our time. We need to out-innovate, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world.
Winning the future, Stanley Fish talking about some of the small phrases and emotional sort of upbeat moments in the speech. But Todd Zwillick, what was the subtextual message there? Were people taking the call? Was there a lot of jumping to their feet there in the hall in that odd seating arrangement we all looked at last night?
Oh, in the bipartisan prom date seating arrangement. You know, John, the only real applause lines you got were in the traditional places when the president tossed out bones to members on things that they like. For instance, the president said, don't send me an appropriations bill with earmarks, I'll veto it. Well, who leapt to their feet? John McCain, earmark crusader. The president said we should work on immigration. The immigration advocates leapt to their feet. But in the hard work stuff, the stuff that Stanley Fish is talking about from down there in Florida, the get down to work stuff, you know, the president said, for instance, I volunteer that we're going to freeze domestic spending for the next 5 years and save $400 billion. Tepid golf claps, kind of polite, okay, Mr. President, we're not so sure about that.
So
that's kind of what you got.
And that's all speaking to the theme of, hey, let's all work together in this divided Congress. Stanley Fish, I wanted to ask you about one of the metaphors last night. The president referred to cutting government spending in the midst of a recession, kind of like lightening the load on an airplane by sawing off the engines. He sort of stumbled as he gave that metaphor. He seemed to be very proud of it. He seemed proud of it. What did you think?
Yeah, he did stumble. It reads much better than it was delivered, but it was entirely unlike most of the speech, so I'm not surprised that he stumbled at it. It had rhetorical effort written all over it, whereas I said a moment ago, most of the speech was determinedly pragmatic and tended to reduce rather than enhance the expectations. It was as if he was speaking about America as the little engine that could, and let's all be little engines that could. And that's why he spent so much time on a small business which developed a drilling technique that helped in Chile. And in a sense, America then became a small business. It was a remarkable, I thought, downsizing of the way in which the nation is usually invoked in these speeches.
Well, Todd Zwillig, let's talk the politics of that then. You know, some have said on this program and elsewhere that there is a hunger in America for this lowering of expectations and focusing on pragmatic goals. Do you think the president struck a chord that resonates among the very independents and kind of on the edge Republicans and Democrats who might be swayed over to his side between now and 2012?
John, I think the White House has been reading one critical poll number. We call it right track, wrong track. Is America on the right track or the wrong track is the question. And the wrong track figure in some polls is above 70%. When wrong track is that high, you don't get in a glider and soar at 40,000 feet. You get down to the tracks and you straighten out the tracks. And I think that's exactly what the president was trying to do. So the moderates start to think, like you just said, that those tracks are going in the right direction. So he was speaking to the middle, and I think what he was trying to do is not only speak to the middle, but occupy the middle. Hey, my sleeves are rolled up. I'm ready to get down to work. Republicans, Tea Party, conservatives, you think that you've been swept into office with a mandate from the right. That's fine, but that's not how you win in 2012. I'm the president. I'm here in the middle. Can you join me, or are you going to be on the fringe? I think that was an important political subtext.
There was
this
point in the speech where he seemed to evoke every theme of the last few years. Listen.
So, yes. The world has changed. The competition for jobs is real. But this shouldn't discourage us. It should challenge us. Remember, for all the hits we've taken these last few years, for all the naysayers predicting our decline, America still has the largest, most prosperous economy in the world.
So Stanley Fish on the way out, if that was a whine, I get hints of Carter in there, Kennedy and Reagan.
Yeah, and the Carter part of it is all the hits we take. That is, it's if he were a fighter reeling, but declaring that he and we with him would get up to fight. And although there was a mention of high-speed rail, the speech was like the Amtrak chugging into Washington from Baltimore.
Stanley Fish, professor of humanities and law at Florida International University. How to Write a Sentence, his book just came out yesterday. And Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks to you both.